The Sons of UCF podcast is proudly presented by Dariga, matching your company with the right talent. Today, we want to shine a spotlight on a company that's revolutionizing the way businesses tackle one of their most critical challenges, finding the right talent. Dariga stands out not only for their groundbreaking approach to recruitment, but also their deep-rooted ties to UCF. Dariga was founded by Ray Bazzi, a fellow UCF alum who started the company as a class project during his MBA program, transforming it into one of the leading recruiting companies in the entire state. In fact, Dariga's commitment to UCF runs deep. More than 95% of their employees are proud UCF graduates, showcasing their dedication to the local talent pool and to the university's spirit of excellence. Many companies have turned to Dariga to quickly and accurately hire qualified, hard-to-find talent that stays for a long time. Go to knightrecruiting.com, that's Knight with a K, to learn more about the services Dariga offers. And if you're an alum, make sure you ask for the Knight Nation discount.
This is the Sons of UCF, the number one place for UCF sports, with your distinguished host, Adam.
Knights versus Baylor. Who do you think is going to win this one?
That's a dumb question.
Thank you.
And Mike.
I had a Google list of DJs because I don't even know who DJs are anymore.
Now, here are the guys.
All right, as always, this guy has been super, super nice to us and has agreed to come back and chat with us as we get ready for UCF versus Georgia Tech in the Gasparilla Bowl. It is Coach George O'Leary. Coach, once again, I can't thank you enough for always hopping in and chatting with me and Mike. Hope all is well. How are you?
Oh, good. I think you guys do a great job, and I'll always support people that support UCF.
Well, that's awesome to hear, Coach. Let's start there quick. I know we want to get to the Gasparilla Bowl and the matchup, but I'd love to just get your thoughts overall on UCF season. Obviously, your first year in the Big 12, they finished 6-6. I know you were at the Baylor game. That was obviously a tough one. A couple other tough losses this season. What do you make overall of UCF season going 6-6 for the first year in the Big 12?
Well, obviously there's some games they'd like to have back, but I think the quality of opponent has changed dramatically in the Big 12 from what they were playing. And I think there's no question. I think UCF will continue to recruit the way they have to recruit. I think they'll be in the throngs of winning a lot of games in the Big 12. And again, the first year is always a tough year. Away stadiums, you haven't been there before. And there's games there that you'd like to have back, I'm sure. Gus would like to have them back. But overall, they made a bowl game, which I think is a success as far as the team is concerned. But, they easily could have won a couple of more games, I think. And that makes it a great season as far as initially into the Big 12.
Well, Coach, you were at that Baylor game, obviously, and that one ends in really heartbreaking fashion. And part of what you've experienced as a coach, can a loss like that stay with a team? Is that something that takes a while for a team to get over when you lose a game in such a tough fashion like that?
Well, it's hard to take that game, but I think the key about football is a momentum game, and they got the momentum in the first half and then lost in the second half and never regained it. And I think it's tough. That's where your leadership, not necessarily coaches, but players needs to step up and start, ownership of the team and stuff. And I didn't see that happening. I thought got very sloppy in the second half and defensively just was, doing a lot of things out of control that shouldn't have been happening. But that's where you can look at the coaches, but, the players play the game. And then stuff, and I thought they stopped playing in the second half.
Coach, you ever remember losing a game when you were up by that many points?
I have to go back, but I don't think so. I would have been cutting my wrist, I think, if that happened.
The only one that came close, I kind of was thinking about it, was that East Carolina game in 14. We were up 26-9 going to the fourth. They took the lead, and then, of course, we hit the Hail Mary.
We got sloppy and again, I think they did a good job of moving the ball and us not making some adjustments I thought we should have made, but I think it ended up a great catch, a great Hail Mary. We practiced that all the time at the end of practice, the Hail Mary and the victory, the throwing the seven cut. to get to be able to throw the Hail Mary. But I think that was a team that was very resilient and stuff, and they acted like it was going to happen. I looked at them. Things like that don't happen too often.
Right. Well, in that Baylor game, we got a chance to see quarterback Timmy McClain. He had a few games. He got a few games under his belt this season. He looks like he's right now the guy that's going to be our guy going into next year. What were your impressions of him in the few games?
I liked him. I really thought, I thought some of the games I saw with the delayed games and stuff, that sort of, I don't necessarily think was his fault as much as plays coming out late and stuff like that, and players coming out late. And I think they could have helped him a little bit more during the game that I watched. But I think he has the athleticism that you need. He can throw the ball, he can run it. And what he's missing is just experience. And that takes time as a young quarterback. And I think talent-wise and athleticism-wise, I think he has a good future.
Coach, as a former defensive coach, you had to be pulling your hair out at times watching UCF's rush defense, which, obviously got gashed for almost 400 yards at Kansas, and, Texas Tech ran on them pretty good. What did you see when you were watching UCF's rush defense? What do you think was missing, or what do you think was, the continued issue all season on the outside of the ball?
Well, I think playmakers at different positions were missing, especially in the front seven. But, you got to get a line correctly, and then you got to, I saw too many triangles. Like when I watched them, you want a flat wall offenses with your defense, and I saw too many triangles when I watched them a little bit, where people need to close to the line of scrimmage. But they're young, and I think there's no question. I think Gus will get that cleaned up, I think a lot of things are tackling. The kids today, they try to tackle with their arms. You tackle with your legs and your feet moving, and that's probably what needs to be worked on as much as anything.
Obviously, we're heading into a bowl game, Coach. Take us a little bit behind the scenes. How does your practice habits or routines, does it change at all as you start to prepare for a bowl game? And obviously now you get these extra 15 whatever practices. How much does that change toward your outlook in these last couple of weeks as you're preparing for a bowl game?
Well, I always had the game plan done before I showed up to the facility for the bowl game and stuff. So we have it done. It's just reviewing everything. And I think the big thing is that I thought was the thing we did well was I used to make the kids red or green. And if they were green when the regular practice ended, they were free to go. And I kept the red guys, the guys with red shirts, guys who hadn't played a lot, and got them extra work with the coaches, which a lot of times during the season that doesn't happen because you're so busy with the first or second string, your third string and your walk-ons and red shirts. Don't get as much, look at that they should look at. So that's a good time. I used to keep them out and do some extra work with them as far as inside run and 7-on-7s and stuff to give them more experience rather than just a game plan experience, stuff that they probably didn't get as much of during the regular season.
Coach, with us playing Georgia Tech, do you like it when we play Georgia Tech, or do you not like it? Do you not want to have to think about who you're rooting for and all that stuff? Do you enjoy these games?
I think it'll be a good matchup. I think both teams' strengths are their strengths, the offense. And I think defensively, both have played well at times. Other times, you're scratching your head a little bit. But I think it'll be a good matchup in those cases. But, a lot of people call them on who I'm rooting for. I just want to see a good game and somebody win a close game in the fourth quarter. I've had allegiance to both schools, and I don't get involved in rooting for one team or another. I just like to see good football.
We seem to have played them a few times recently now, and you mentioned you coach both teams. Howard Schnellenberger coached for both Louisville and Miami, and this year they came out with a trophy, for the Schnellenberger Trophy, and it wasn't about his pipe or his mustache, but they made it boots. If we had to come up with a George O'Leary trophy, say we start playing Georgia Tech regularly, what kind of O'Leary trophy are we looking at?
I have no idea. I would think I leave that up to the people that are trying to do the thing as far as, you know, trophies are concerned. But, you know, I think the game is about players and stuff, and sometimes coaches get a little more recognition than they should. And it still comes down to coaches, head coach, coaches, assistants, and assistants coach the players. That's what I've always believed in. And then you got to find some leadership on your team that can take care of things when things aren't going well and how resilient they are. And that comes back to your senior leadership and what they're doing in the locker room, on the practice field. And they set the tempo, really. A head coach just drives the horse, and hopefully the horse is pulling in the right direction.
So we're not going to hire the same guy that made your statue, I guess, for the trophy.
I don't know. I've only been to a couple of games since I left, and I walk quickly past it, so I don't get to, people don't want to start taking pictures and everything else. But again, I think what I was sorry to see Dick Nunes pass away, you know, just last week.
Yeah.
He did so many great things for the university, and he was really the go-to guy. Him and Steve Orsini behind the advancement of facilities and everything else regarding athletics at UCF. Very, very, very stern in what he attempted, but what he attempted, he got accomplished, which was a great credit to him and the people around that were supporting those moves.
Coach, I'm glad you mentioned coaching, and obviously Brent Key is the coach at Georgia Tech, who you spent a lot of time with. But I actually saw recently, I think Joe Burnett now took a job as a high school coach. Stephen Moffitt's had a good career as a high school coach. Rob Calabrese is coaching quarterbacks with the Jets. How does it make you feel when you see a lot of your former players getting into coaching? And do they ever call you and reach out and ask for advice, ask for pointers as they get into the profession?
I got a number of calls from kids asking how to get into the profession, and most of them don't want to pay their dues. They want to go right to being an assistant coach at college or something. I said, don't work that way. There's a lot more involved as far as learning the ropes. And, you know, I always said, learn the trade, not the tricks of the trade. And I think you got to get more guys that work their way up through the ranks. So, because there's a lot going on in that football office that young kids don't understand yet, and young coaches. That's why it takes experience and just knowledge. You know, but as I always looked at young kids, always at the guys that were watching film all the time, and guys that were really trying to advance themselves. And I tried to stay away from the guys that were always on the phone.
Well, obviously, I mentioned, Brent Key, the coach at Georgia Tech. Obviously, you spent a lot of time with him. What's he like as a coach? Give us a scouting report on what maybe to expect from him as we play Georgia Tech.
I think he's a very detailed guy. He'll have a good game plan coming in. And, you know, I noticed when they played Georgia this past year, I caught the game. And Alabama used many of the same runs against Georgia when they beat them and stuff. But they'll have a good game plan, and again, everything that's supposed to transpire in the game, it'll be covered by Brent, I would think, same as the way Gus does it and stuff. But I think it all comes down to and anytime you go to a bowl game, it comes down to. Really, I always look at three things. Offense and defense got to do what they do, but special teams, big plays in special teams, and then the team with the least amount of penalties and turnovers usually ends up being the victor in those kind of games, especially with the kids' minds sometimes or elsewhere with bowl games and Christmas and all that's coming up. But I do like playing. If you're not going to play in the playoff six or whatever, or the big bowl games, I think playing before Christmas is so much better than playing over Christmas, where you have to have the kids away from their homes at Christmas time. So I think playing before Christmas is a great bowl game. You get done, the kids have a chance to get home and celebrate Christmas with their parents and family.
Coach, staying on coaching for one more second, one of the things people still talk about to this day that they really enjoyed when you were at UCF was lunch with George. And you invite people to come hang out and have lunch, and even practices, you were open to having people come by. That's not college football anymore, Coach. You know, coaches aren't doing that. Everything's all buttoned up. Everything's all tightened up. Why do you think that is, that, you know, there's no longer lunch with George or lunch with a coach or open practice philosophies. Well, why do you think it's changed in the last, you know, half a decade or so?
I think coaches' insecurity, I think, more than anything else. I used to think it was the fans' game and stuff. I let lunch with George, when I first wanted to do it, they wanted just people that were donors and stuff like that, and I nixed that pretty quick, and I wanted it open to the regular fan that pays money to come to the games and come and have the lunch with him very much, but I thought we had some laughs during lunch with George, and I think the people appreciated it, and I thought certain practices I wouldn't want to open, but I thought for the most part we opened practice most of the time, and again, fans, I only have one rule, don't be taking pictures and don't be broadcasting on the different message boards, you know, stuff you might have seen or anything else. You come to enjoy practice, enjoy it, and keep it to yourself.
Coach, you're going to be the guest of honor in this bowl game. What does that entail? They're going to bring you out to flip the coin, and then after that, they give you a suite, they give you all your food and drinks included. How does that work?
No, I'm not going over till Friday. I'm with my son Marty, and but we're not getting it till about 5 o'clock, and I didn't want to get involved in too much of the stuff before the game. But I guess the bowl called me on if I'd be co-captain of both teams, and I said fine, but I said I'd like to keep it low key and stuff. And the only thing people want to know is where I'm sitting. I said I'll probably sit on one half, one side, and then the other half the other side. I said I just want to see a good game by two teams that are in a bowl game, that they both have a lot to gain by winning. And it comes down to I like good football, and I don't necessarily root for one team or another. And I like good football, and I hate bad football. So my attitude will be based on the kind of game it is.
Well, instead of sitting on one sideline, how about sitting up in that pirate ship up there with the rest of the fans? Would you ever consider doing that?
No, I'm not. I'm not big on all that stuff. I like to go to games, and when I go to games, I try to get in and get out quickly and stuff and all that. And, you know, I enjoy college football. I don't like the direction it's heading. I think it needs to clean itself up a little bit as far as the NOI and the transfer portal, and it's just not good for college football.
Right. And what about all these bowl games? There's so many bowl games. So this game is a game between 2 6-6 teams. There were 7 games on Saturday. Is it too much? Do we have too many bowl games?
I think even if I was coaching today, I think you, my own personal self, I think you should get 8 wins to be able to go to a bowl game and stuff, because you want to sell tickets, you want to sell ads, you want to sell fan base stuff, and you know, people want to go in and see teams that have, you know, you win 8 games, you're a fairly decent football team, and you deserve rewards. 6 wins, and that's when they're playing 12 games now and stuff. It used to be when they were playing 11, you had to get 6 wins. So, I mean, they've made it a lot easier. But you know, I think that a lot of competitive coaches would say 8 and stuff, and it would drive more competition within the players to understand that, hey, 6 wins is a decent season, but it's not a season that basically is going to carry over into a bowl season. If they had a rule and come out with something, I would probably vote for 8 wins and understand that, you know, hey, that's going to make football better during the bowl season. It's going to give the fan base a better chance to see probably good football. I'm not saying 6-6 teams aren't, but there's a big difference between 6 and 8 wins in college football.
Coach, I'm going to ask you a question I never thought I'd ask you for the game on Friday. What are you wearing? Are you just going neutral colors? Are you going gold for both teams? Do you have a dress strategy for Friday's game?
No, I haven't even thought about that. I just hope I can make it to the game. But no, I downplay everything. I don't like to get involved. I told the bowl I'd do that as a favor. They called me a couple of times on it, and the first time I told them to call me back, and And I don't mind helping them out, but I it's a player's game, and they're the ones that deserve all the recognition.
Coach, I know you're a humble guy, but you have to feel a little bit of pride seeing two programs that you had such a heavy role in, and maybe where they are in their success. You have to feel some pride seeing these schools match up together, right?
Well, both very similar. Like when I took over at Georgia Tech, they coming off a 1-11 or 1-10 season, and it was a rebuilding job, and we rebuilt it fairly quick and had great support, great coaches with me, and again we got them back into winning and going to bowl games and stuff fairly quickly, and UCF was pretty much the same. It was a rebuild job, and from facilities to recruiting to academics to everything had to be touched. And I thought we did a good job of getting the foundation needed to have a successful program there. And we had some games that were outstanding games, some you like to have back. But for the most part, we set the tone as far as for the future, as far as what's going to take to win, from facilities to just recruiting and getting things done, fan base, fan support and stuff of that sort. And both very similar. They both were pretty much the same way when I took them both over, and with great, good coaches and great support staff and an administration that wanted to win on both ends. It made things a lot easier.
Since I have you on here, I got to get a quick Yankee question in. What did you think about the Soto trade? Did you prefer? Would you rather have Ohtani? What do you think about the Yankees coming up?
I'd always go after a pitcher and stuff. But I'm disappointed in the Yankees. Too much analytics and stuff. I'm tired of listening to that. Any guy worth his soul that's coaching, knows what to do in baseball. You have to look. What do you do? You're yanking pitchers out in six innings when they got a two-hitter going and stuff like that. It's sort of ridiculous. I think that's one of the Yankees' problems. All I heard about was analytics and stuff. What about your gut and making calls based on what you think is the right thing to do at that time during the game, not listening to some AI guy tell you what you think should do and stuff. And, But I think getting Soto was a good get. I think, especially with the short right field wall. I think the big thing is Ohtani was going to cost so much and stuff. And I don't know how they're doing with this other kid that from Japan. I don't know what's going on with that one, but they say that the Yankees have a shot at him, the pitcher there, the young pitcher. So, but they got to get things done and stuff. And I'd really look at conditioning. If I were the, I never seen so many soft muscle injuries on a team that the Yankees have. And you always go back to look at conditioning and how much conditioning they're doing during the spring season and stuff of that sort. But way too many soft muscle injuries that shouldn't be happening in the middle of the season.
It's been a while, Coach. We got to get back on top soon, I hope.
Yeah, well, very soon. One thing about Yankee Stadium, those fans know baseball and stuff. If you haven't been there, all you got to do is sit there and listen to them. They know baseball, and they're great. If you're winning, if you're not winning and you're not hitting, you're going to get booed. And that's part of the game at Yankee Stadium.
All right, Coach. Well, we appreciate you being so generous with your time. I have to ask this last question. I'm sure you're going to tell me no and yell at me for it. But any chance I can get a prediction for the game? What do you think is going to happen?
I told you what I'd like to see happen is a well-fought game and get into the fourth quarter and decisions have to be made on fourth and one, third. That's what I enjoy, to see what the coaches are thinking on fourth and one, fourth and two, and they're kicking field goals, they're going for it and stuff. And, I always tell everybody I talk to, when you're playing in bowl games, you always take the points. If you have a chance to kick a field goal, because it's going to matter in the fourth quarter when you start to look at the scoreboard and stuff. But I just hope it's a good game and that both teams are competitive against each other. And I do anticipate some adjustments have to be made on both sides, but I hope it comes down to the fourth quarter And both teams have to make key decisions for a win. And that's what good football is about. And that's all I want to see is a good game.
Well, hopefully that good game ends with UCF on the right side of the scoreboard. Coach, we appreciate you taking so much time. I know you're busy this week, holiday time. Best to you and your family. Happy holidays. And hopefully we'll get a chance to catch up with you again soon, okay?
Thank you, fellas, and continue doing a great job you're doing. Okay.
Thanks, Coach. We appreciate
it. Coach, enjoy the game.
Sports Social Podcast Network.